the Fade the Noise podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets. Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by the good sir, Nathaniel Lundy. And ho, ho, ho. Hopefully you're having a holly jolly one. It is Christmas Eve here on the Fade the Noise podcast. We have entered an unexpected sports desert, Lundy, as the Hawaii Bowl was canceled due to COVID issues within the Rainbow Warriors program. So, Memphis, congratulations. You got yourself a nice holiday vacation and no opponent to play. We'll see if that game gets rescheduled down the road. Maybe, just maybe, you could play it in St. Louis against my University of Illinois Fighting Illini. Yeah, Tigers. That would be kind of
just wish it out. Wish it out into the universe, Brad. I like that. You're just putting it out there, waiting for somebody to pick it up and run with it.
Yeah, you know, we could push that sucker back a couple of weeks, give Illinois a few days of practice time, get everybody back on campus and tested, and hopefully get them, you know, lathered up and ready to go to face the Tigers. I like the thought of it. I really do. And maybe I would make a road trip to the Arch and visit my University of Illinois Fighting Illini friends down there. But anyway, that's all hypothetical and nobody really cares. So let's focus on what sports we do know are likely going to be played here this weekend. And a lot of that's tied, of course, to the NFL. We do have a bowl game coming up on Christmas Day. We may get a selection on that a little bit later on in the broadcast. We got a ton of NBA, too, but I'm waiting for the player props to surface there before firing off any tickets. So tell me your favorite side or total that stands out to you most. Week 16 of the NFL slate. Smorgasbord of opportunities. You got a knife and fork, my friend. You're about to dig in. What stacks some greenbacks underneath the stocking for you this Christmas weekend?
I will take a trip up to Starbucks land, Brad.
Ooh, okay.
And the Seahawks and your Chicago Bears. I'm going to take the Seahawks. I'm going to lay the 6.5. I don't know why. I just feel like this is a TYG, a trust your gut. I feel like between these two teams, Seattle has the better offense. Okay. I mean, we really can't, you have a better offense. They're at home. People are out betting on which team Russ is going to play for next year.
Denver.
I just feel like, you know, well, Denver's the odds-on favorite right now. And believe me, they can have all of our draft picks. I don't care. I just want a damn quarterback to wear a Broncos jersey for the first time in a long time. This is just one that I think Seattle at home. I don't trust Chicago. I don't trust Matt Nagy. You know that. We've talked about that ad nauseum here on the podcast. So I'm going to roll with Seattle. I'm going to lay the points. I think they actually win it by exactly a touchdown, and Captain Hook comes into play.
Yeah, I would not at all remotely shock me, because it's the Bears, for crying out loud, who have officially been eliminated from postseason competition. I think that's a sound money wager. I like the under on 19.5 points for the team total on the Cleveland Browns on Christmas Day in northern Wisconsin against the Green Bay Packers. You look at what Cleveland has done in terms of total points. They have been comfortably under this number here. Let's see, 1, 2, 3 of their last four games, Lundy. And I just don't see, you know, even with Baker Mayfield back, more likely Jarvis Landry going to be back on the field. Yeah, you got Nick Chubb, but I think the Green Bay Packers are going to come out and just blitzkrieg these dudes from start to finish. And, you know, maybe you can clean up in garbage time, but I'm sensing like 17 points max for C-Town in this clash, again, on Christmas afternoon against the Packers. So that's one of my strongest wagers on the board. And if you're into totals, I'll throw it a little bonus time out at you. I do like the over in the Bengals and Ravens game. It's at 45 right now, and it sounded like Tyler Huntley is going to get another start for this Ravens team. Lit the world on fire against the aforementioned Packers last week. And as decimated as this Ravens secondary is, I mean, they're trotting out there like signed practice squad guys, third stringers in that defensive backfield. You know, Burrow could go out there and sling it for 300 plus and multiple touchdowns. And then Tyler Huntley, with his duality, could get it done via ground and air. So that game could be in the 50s. I know it's an intra-divisional matchup, familiar foes here, storied rivalry. And usually those games will tuck under, but I think the over is going to be fine. And no, these guys are not water soluble. okay, it's supposed to rain there, but it's not going to be a torrential downpour. It's just going to be spitting there in the Queen City. So, again, that game, I like the over on the 45, and I like the under on the Browns on the 19.5 points for the team total. With that, let's get to it on this Football Friday and festive edition of another Fade 5.
Number 5.
All right, we do have some player props. Not at tape time, there are not a whole lot of options, Luddy. There's about 5 or 6 games that have just a few lines up, but enough for us to get in our top 5 plays of the weekend. Let's go ahead and start off with Josh Allen, 35.5 rush yards, minus 115 right now at DraftKings. Really, it's minus 115 universally across all the legal sports books available here in the great U.S. of A. You know, you look at Allen, last week he was hobbled. You know, he had the one long run that went for 26 yards against the Carolina Panthers, but you could tell that he was hindered with that sprained foot. Ultimately took a couple of kneel downs, had 3 carries for 24 yards in total in that game. And you look at the last time these two faced in that gale force wind, he went 6 carries for 39 yards. And the winds expected to be much more palatable this time around, with the game not in Western New York, this one being played in Foxborough. But Allen is the only quarterback this season to go over 35.5 yards. And again, that was in that meteorologically impacted game the first time out. So I don't think he's going to be able to replicate it or duplicate it. I think he's going to be more pocket tied yet again. And as a result, he will tuck comfortably under this number. I don't think he even cracks 30 on the ground. So Lundy, fade or follow Josh Allen under 35.5 rush yards, minus 115 at DK.
I would really like Mother Nature to throw another curveball at these guys just for some fun.
How about hail? Like, golf ball
yes.
size.
Yes, one of those where it hails enough where it actually looks like it snowed.
yeah.
You need one of those just layers that takes place. I'm going to follow on this one on the under at the 35, 36.5, depending upon, you know, where you want to snag it. I just think this is a gift. I don't think he's going to be running that much. I think this is going to be another one of those strong defensive efforts, as you would expect from New England. And as you said, nobody's doing this to New England. It's just not happening. So this is the kind of matchup where, as much as we know Josh Allen wants to run, as much as you want him to rack up those points, especially if you've got him in fantasy and you're in your playoffs, this is not the game it's going to happen.
No, fade Josh Allen.
Number 4.
All right, let's move on. Next up in the player props market, let's go to your location. Your buns are currently resting, Lundy, and that is in the Mile High City. And I want to talk about Courtland Sutton, and I want to feature here the over on 2.5 receptions, which you can still get, folks, at plus odds. Pull this one this morning at BetMGM at +105. Why am I bullish on Sutton, who has been comfortably under this number in 6 consecutive games? Has everything to do with the quarterback change, going from T-Rex, Teddy Bridgewater, to Drew Locke. Yeah, who is an abomination to the quarterback position, but he has eyes usually only for Courtland Sutton and also Tim Patrick. You saw that immediately when he came in after Teddy Bridgewater, and shockingly so, and we're glad that Teddy Bridgewater is A-OK after he was taken off the field on a gurney, suffering that gnarly and nasty concussion. Everybody's heart dropped there at Mile High Stadium last week, but he is out. Locke is in, and when Locke came in for the injured Bridgewater, he immediately looked Sutton's way. They didn't connect right away, but the fact that he was peppering him with targets, in total, Sutton had 7 targets. 5 of those were from Drew Locke, and I expect that to carry over this week against the Las Vegas Raiders. And the last time out, and granted, it was Bridgewater at the controls in that game in week 6. It was one of Sutton's finest performances of the season. 14 targets. He had 8 receptions for 94 yards and a touchdown. I think that he's going to be way over this number. This could be a 5-6 catch game. I think it's going to be a renaissance of sorts for him. He has continuously played at least 80% of the snap share in 6 consecutive games, and he's still one of the premier field stretchers in the league, at least according to the advanced analytics, so the connections haven't been made in the box score. Wide receiver 9 in average depth of target, wide receiver 7 in air yards. So a little early bonus time on him. If you want to, you know, bring it together, correlate, synergize, I also still like the over at 26.5 receiving yards for Courtland Sutton. So Lundy, is this the week that Sutton breaks out of the deep freeze? Fade or follow over 2.5 receptions at +105 at BetMGM. And give me your thoughts, too, on that over 26.5 receiving yards against Vegas.
Take the over in both cases because Drew Lock does have tunnel vision. It's part of the reason why he's not a good quarterback is because he gets tunnel vision, and he has tunnel vision for Cortland Sutton, and he has a little bit of that at the same time for Tim Patrick. But I definitely know that he has it for Sutton. I think his receiving yards prop is too low. This receptions, the fact that you can get it at plus odds, go for it. The big question you have to ask yourself is how many times is Drew Lock going to actually throw it to someone wearing silver and black? Because that's pretty much a given. That's going to take place in this game. And in fact, we'll talk about this game in bonus time coming up here in a little bit. But when it comes to the player props, yes, jump on Cortland Sutton. And you may even want to consider a little Tim Patrick sprinkling in there, an anytime touchdown, something like that, just because of the fact that he basically looks the direction of two receivers. Jerry Jeudy practically doesn't exist when Drew Lock is on the field.
Santa! Please gift us a Sutton winner.
Number three.
All right, moving on. Let's talk. Same game, different name in this Broncos and Raiders matchup. I like the over on Josh Jacobs, 23.5 receiving yards. Pull this one from DraftKings at -115. Jacobs has quietly developed in one of the premier pass-catching backs in the entirety of the NFL. He has ran at least 20 routes in four straight games. He has enticed four or more targets in 9 of his last 12, or that's on the season, 9 of 12 this year. He has been over this number in 3 of his last 4, and he had 29 as well, Lundy, against the Denver Broncos back in Week 6, and he did that on one catch. The Broncos this season giving up 4.2 receptions per game, 41.1 receiving yards per game to the running back position. So ultimately, I think Jacobs going to cruise past this, you know, on 3 to 4 receptions. 8 guys have gone over this number against the Broncos this season. So fade or follow Josh Jacobs. Get it done with those sticky digits on the over 23.5 receiving yards, -115 at DraftKings.
I like the over in this one because the Broncos secondary at times they've looked absolutely phenomenal. At times they haven't looked all that great. But what you do know is you've got Justin Simmons over the top. You got Pat Surtain in there as well. So you can try to move the ball down the field through the air, but in some cases you have to do it with your running back because you need to try to go short, try to get some yardage and not necessarily challenge that level of the Broncos defense. It has been one of the highlights for them so far this season is the play of those two, Simmons and Surtain. So I like Jacobs because you need to be able to dump it off short field. That has to be part of your game plan to take advantage of this defense. They are so banged up and missing guys, the in and out rotating guys that have been in that front 7 that you can take advantage of it. I like this number for Jacobs. I think he finishes at 30 plus.
Stick around, you mischievous little L's, for our top player prop picks in NFL Week 16 plus bonus time.
Number 2.
All right, Lundy, let's get back to the action on Christmas afternoon against the Cleveland Browns and Green Bay Packers in that matchup there. And I'm going to go with the battering ram and A.J. Dillon. And I'm going to take the over on 47.5 rush yards. Pull this one from FanDuel Sportsbook at -114. You look at A.J. Dillon. You know, fascinatingly, he's been over this number in 4 of his last 5 games overall and 4 of his last 5 home games. You know, typically when Green Bay has a lead, and that has often occurred sizably there within the friendly confines of Lambeau Field, you know, given the ice cold temperatures up there in northern Wisconsin, Dillon is a guy that can come in and just demoralize the competition late in a game, salt away the clock. And I think that's what is going to unfold again on Saturday. He is number 18 in total yards created. He's only seeing a stack front, and this is, the upside of playing alongside Mr. Aaron Rodgers, seeing a stack front just 20.6% of the time. Cleveland, they were stout earlier this season against the run, but they've really come unraveled here on a per-carry basis, giving up 4.70 yards per carry at the running back position over the last 5 weeks, and 9 guys on the ground in total have hit at least 48 ground yards against the Brownies this year. So A.J. Dillon, fade or follow, my over 47.5 rush yards, -114 at FanDuel.
I like this one. You are on a roll here at Christmas Eve. We are stuffing people's
stockings. Can you guarantee? Can you guarantee some winners? Because I need it. I'm already in the hole last night because I didn't wager enough on A.J. Brown or on Deebo Samuel.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think any of us wagered enough on A.J. Brown. Good. I think he just got another catch. God, that performance was fantastic in the second half.
Yeah.
We did not put nearly enough units on Mr. Brown. We need to learn our lesson here. But no, I think you take the over with this one. Look, it's Green Bay is at home. It is the Christmas Day opportunity. You get Santa Rogers, who's going to be trying to stuff the stat sheet because that's what he does. And I think that that's going to open up the opportunities for A.J. Dillon. So, yeah, I like the over in this one. Again, a number that I think is too small. I think he finishes mid to upper 50s, and that's an easy cash by the time we're done on Christmas Day.
Yep, no doubt about it. Dillon, for the dollars, please, and thank you.
Number one.
All right, let's get to my top pick and play on the board, and it's Christmas night, and the final present that will be unwrapped is whatever you lay on the over with John the Taylor at 102.5 rush yards, -114 at FanDuel. Lundy, I would play this all the way up to 109.5. Hell, if I had enough eggnog, I may even go a little bit higher than that. You look at Taylor here, 6 of his last 9 games, he's gone for at least .116 on the ground. He has had at least 20 rush attempts in 4 of his last 5, and if you want to pair this with his rush attempts prop, I like the over on that too, at the 20.5 number. That's juiced up right now at DraftKings at -125, but I think it gets at least 22 carries in this game. You know how much of a yak monster he has been this season. Top 5 in yak per attempt, top 5 in missed tackles forced. In Arizona, on the year, you know, where they're most susceptible is in the trenches. 4.5 yards per carry allowed to the running back position and 93.9 rush yards per game. Again, just to RBs. Taylor's unstoppable right now. This offensive line is absolutely clicking. And I think the Colts are going to beat Arizona, and it's largely due to those bulky, tree trunks for legs that Taylor has, and they're going to be working early and often. So fade or follow my over, Jonathan Taylor, 102.5 rush yards. Does he have an Alva Kamara 2020-like Christmas night, Lundy? Again, pull this one from FanDuel at -114.
Yes, and bet on Jonathan Taylor until he gives you a reason not to, people. That's it. I think maybe we've learned that lesson about A.J. Brown. When it comes to JT, just keep throwing cash at the man, and he turns around and throws cash back at you. And in fact, this one at some of the books, Brad, has already slid to 103.5. I'm fine with that. I'm with you. I would play it up to the 108, 109 mark because I think they're just going to keep feeding him the ball over and over again. I don't know that I'm right there with you that the Colts are going to wind up winning this game, although it wouldn't surprise me if they did. But from a statistical standpoint, yes, I'm all over Jonathan Taylor here on Christmas night. And let's see a Kamara type performance. I'm down with that. Give me something exciting at the end of the day. After I've opened up another pair of socks or
can we get a 6 touchdown prop for John the Taylor Sportsbooks? Man. What are the odds on that? Let's go. Let's lock and roll.
That would be ridiculous. But I am grateful for the fact that we have, because I like the NBA, but eventually you get to the point on Christmas Day where I'm like, okay, enough already. Give me some football. And now I have some football to keep me occupied tomorrow.
Yep, absolutely, with a doubleheader starting in the afternoon. All right, before we get out of here and have a holly jolly good time of our own, my friend, let's work in some bonus time action. We got nothing on Friday at tape time, but of course there's additional player props out there. Maybe you want to get a little bowl game action. What do you got for me?
Well, we are going to do some bowl game action. We got Georgia State and Ball State. Yeah. That's right, folks. We're dipping deep. Why? Because we're degenerates. I am going to take the Georgia State Panthers, Brad. I am going to give up the 5.5 points. One of the main reasons why, Georgia State runs the ball straight down your throat. I think they average something like 4.9 a carry. And Ball State's rush defense is ranked, I believe when I looked, they were ranked 77th. So I think Georgia State's just going to run it down their throat. So I'm going to take Georgia State. I'm going to give up the 5.5. I will also throw this out there. I've told you this is one of those bets that I just keep doing until it tells me otherwise. I just keep taking the over in every bowl game because nobody's playing any defense. The over-under in this one happens to be sitting at 51. And I know you're thinking, well, you got Georgia State that likes to run the ball. Wait a minute. Are they actually going to score? Over the course of their last three wins, Georgia State has scored 37, 28, and 42. So I think that even though they love to run the ball, this is still a game that could wind up hitting the over at the 51. Going back to that Broncos-Raiders game, two things for you. First of all, I'm taking Vegas. And like at DraftKings, it's Vegas plus one. At BetMGM, it's Vegas minus 1.5. So this is essentially a coin toss. Folks, it's Drew Lock. Okay. And last year on the road at Vegas, he threw one touchdown and four picks. So I think he's going to throw the ball to the silver and black far too many times. So I am going to take Vegas. I don't care. Give up 2.5, give up 3.5. The Broncos are toast, y'all. So I don't think they've got an opportunity in this one. And the prop is not up yet, Brad, but I wasn't kidding about Drew Lock throwing the ball to the silver and black. When his prop comes up to throw an interception, just take it. And if it's juiced to high heaven, pair it up with something else, turn it into a parlay, put it in a same game, whatever you want to do. But again, on the road against Vegas last year, he threw four picks in that game. Yep. Drew Lock is good for making stupid decisions. He did it in college and he's still doing it in the NFL. So take him for at least a pick over the course of that contest on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm with you there, dude. Absolutely. I think that's an excellent call. All right, let me work in a couple of additional ones that I like on Sunday or Saturday. And let's start off actually with another player prop on Saturday. Give me the over on Christian Kirk, 22.5 yards for her longest reception. He's done this 10 times, and he did it twice last week. He had a pair of 40-yarders in that dud effort in Detroit and totally had 12 targets, 9 catches for 94 yards. He's top 15 in completed air yards and yards per target. And the Colts have given up 35 pass plays at 20 or more yards. Going to get some Xavier Rhodes in coverage primarily. He's given up a 92.7 passer rating. So I think it'll be a deep connection with him and Kyler Murray. Give me the under on Dak Prescott, 278.5 pass yards. He's been below this in four of his last five, including the last time he faced the Fightin' Footballs. Couldn't even crack 240 in that game. Dak has struggled, man. Quarterback 19 in adjusted completion percentage and QB 29 in average depth of target since week 11. And the Fightin' Footballs, they were god-awful against the pass earlier this season. Well, since week 7, only Jalen Hurts on Tuesday has gone over this proposed threshold of 278.5. And then another one I'll just toss out there that I like on the under. I'll give you two more. Why not? It's the giving season. Zach Pascal, 21.5 receiving yards. It's all about usage. He's been under in four of his last five. He's only ran 25 routes in total last couple of games. He'll be lucky to get a couple of targets. May only have like one catch. Hopefully he won't go for 22. So I like the under there on 21.5 receiving yards, minus 115 at DraftKings. And then the last one I got, Joe Burrow, give me the over 21.5 completions at minus 130 at Caesars Sportsbook. So it is heavily juiced on that over, but for good reason. Burrow taking on, as I mentioned, that depleted secondary of the Baltimore Ravens. And even with the Ravens at full strength in week 7, he completed 23 passes. He has been over this in two of his last three games. I think he's going to complete, you know, anywhere between 23 to 25 attempts in this contest, which could be a banner effort here in week 16. And that is a wrap for this edition of the Feed the Noise podcast. Please follow Lundy on Twitter at Nate Lundy. Follow me there at Noisy Huevos. Drop us a rating and a review, would you kindly? Happy holidays to you and yours. Enjoy it with your families. And until next time, as always, feed or follow. That is up to you.
Feed the Noise.